this.
This.
Bhavaha. The nature. Antya. In the lowest position. Avasayinam. Of those residing. Dirtiness, dishonesty, thievery, faithlessness, useless quarrel, lust, anger and hankering constitute the nature of those in the lowest position outside the Varnashram system. Purport. Here the Lord describes those who reside outside the scientific social system called Varnashram. In Europe and America, we've practically observed that the standards of cleanliness are abominable, even among so-called educated persons. Going without bathing and the use of indecent language are common. In the modern age, people whimsically speak whatever they like, dispensing with all authority, and there is therefore very little truthfulness or true wisdom. Similarly, in both the capitalistic and communistic countries, everyone is busily engaged in stealing and robbing from everyone else in the name of business, taxation, or outright crime. People are not confident of the kingdom of God, nor of their own eternal nature, and thus their faith is very weak. Moreover, since modern human beings are not very interested in Krishna consciousness, they constantly quarrel, bicker, and fight over completely insignificant issues relating to the material body. Thus, at the slightest provocation, there are huge wars and massacres. Lust, anger, and hankering have become practically unlimited in Kali Yuga. The symptoms and characteristics mentioned here can be abundantly observed throughout the world, wherever people have fallen away from the Varnashram system. Because of simple habits such as animal killing, illicit sex, intoxication and gambling, the great majority of human beings have become chandalas or untouchables. Om Magyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Udave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Angum Langayate Girim Yadkripata Maham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatavinam. So we can see here that the qualities of those existing outside of the Varnashram system are the inverse of the qualities that are manifest in the Brahmanas. Samo damas tapa socham. Socham means cleanliness, but here asocham is the opposite. Anritam, dishonesty. Arjavam is the quality of the Brahmana. Simplicity, which means being straightforward. So, you know, not being duplicit. Steyam, thievery. The characteristic of the Brahmanas is to, or those, shall we say, influenced by the mode of goodness, good qualities, is dana, giving in charity, pratigraha, receiving gifts. you know, there's a free exchange of basically affection. Which is a characteristic of the brahmanas. The brahmanas have six duties. Yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dadadik, pratigraha, something like that. Giving in charity, receiving in charity, teaching, sacrifice, performing sacrifices, studying the shastra, giving knowledge, you know, teaching the shastra to others is a symptom. So, giving and receiving, not thieving. You know, it's voluntary. In other words, it's voluntary. A voluntary exchange. And thievery is just rip off. And I remember amongst my friends in the, you know, it was considered, you were considered an elevated person if you could rip off the most from the most amount of anything from the most amount of people. Oh, that's cool. Especially if you could steal it right out of their front yard. Of course, you couldn't then keep it in your front yard. You have to keep it around the back. So, you know, dishonesty, thievery. For the brahmanas, especially for the devotees, because basically the devotional culture of Krishna consciousness rests on the mode of goodness. Wherein the opposite qualities that are described here are cultivated. Whereas here we see really, and it's interesting, even the Shudras within the Varnashram system, the Shudras are described as being influenced by the tamagun or by the mode of ignorance. Yet, there's still structure and order, and there are guidelines for those persons. And of course, the Varnashram system is basically taking the qualities and the characteristics of a person and putting some order and structure and some goodness, adding goodness to their natural tendencies. So the natural tendencies of a person are taken, and considering the influence of the mode of goodness, or considering the influence of the mode of passion, or considering the influence of the mode of ignorance in that person's natural characteristics. It's interesting, I was just listening to Prabhupada this morning, and he was making the point that the classification Hindu is not something that is found within the Vedas or within the scripture. You know, because Prabhupada was recounting to the devotees how one Jnani had come to him the day before and had criticized him, saying, you know, the Muslims came to India and they converted the Hindus to Islam. And the Christians came to India and they converted the Hindus to Christianity. So, you know, why are you any different? You're going to the West and you're converting the others to Hindus. No? And I don't know why Prabhupada would be criticized for doing that, but that's what he was saying. Why are you, you know, how are you different from the Muslims and the Christians? And Prabhupada said, no, we are not converting anybody to Hinduism. You know, Hinduism is just a name that has been given to those people who we know as having come from Hindustan, right? So it's just a name that's been coined. It's a convention, if you like. He said, but Prabhupada said, no, we're not converting anybody to any Hinduism. We're just making people devotees of Krishna. Servants of Krishna. We're just reminding everybody that they're a servant of Krishna. And then he said, if there's anything that we're doing, we're converting people to Varnashram. That's our system. That's the system that's actually given in the Vedas. And Prabhupada makes the point that the Varnashram exists everywhere. Whether it's Christians or Muslims or Hindus or Jews or whatever. It's just a natural order, a natural arrangement. Chaturvanya maya srishtam guna kama vibhaga saha. Krishna says that this is just a natural system that exists everywhere and that everybody can fit into that system. So according to the natural propensity of a person, they'll show the qualities of a brahmana. They'll naturally show the qualities of a kshatriya. They'll naturally have the qualities of a vaishya. They'll naturally have the qualities of a sudra. Although in Kali Yuga, especially, we see, because of the contamination of the mode of ignorance and no set of rules, no set of guidelines for each of the different types of person. And the ashram, you know, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. There's no order, there's no structure. And because of the swirling and the churning of the modes of material nature, then it's very hard to discern, you know, really what's going on. So you get, and you get all of, as a result of, you know, a heavy, heavy conditioning of ignorance, especially. There's no connection with spiritual advancement, spiritual knowledge, spiritual pursuit. Then everything gets very, very confused. But if you look at a person's quality and characteristics, if you study a person's character for long enough, you'll soon work it out. You'll soon work out where a person, you know, after some, they may, you know, they may, a person may present themselves as being, you know, something, but eventually the masquerade will be exposed. Right? Because your natural qualities will come out in due course of time. Prabhupada tells the story, I'm not sure if Prabhupada tells the story, but there's the story in the Hita Pradesh, I think, about the hyena who fell in a vat of dye, a blue dye. You know, as Prabhupada says, you know, you put a dog on the throne, but then you get a bone and throw it on the floor. You hop off the floor and run after the bone. So very difficult. It's very, very difficult to, or practically speaking, it's impossible for us to overcome our conditioning. And even Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, you can't repress your natural identity, your natural inclinations. You may be able to do it for some time, but eventually the true nature of a person will show. So here, really, this description, asocham, unritam, dishonesty, steyam, thievery, nastikyam, faithlessness, and the quality of a brahmana is astikyam, which faithful, astikyam, really to the Vedic system, to the order and the structure of the Varnashram system, having some faith in that process. Whereas in modern society, you know, there's no faith in anything or anyone. You can denigrate or challenge anybody no sense of respect for anyone or anything, really. Unless, you know, you've got more money or you've got a bigger stick, you know. Or you're more expert in sense gratification. You know, because of the fact that people are less qualified, and because of this nastikyam, you know, no faith in anyone or anything, then what we see is that the culture of the asuras becomes prominent. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita. There are the asuras and the asuras. There's the divine and the demoniac. So, when there's no faith and no faith in spiritual or religious culture, and when I say religious or spiritual culture, I mean the culture of Krishna consciousness, realizing our actual spiritual identity, not some show of religiosity and spirituality. Because that's also the symptoms of the demons. The symptoms of the demons is that they make a big show. They make up even their own processes of religiosity. They make a big show of it. But that's all it is. There's no connection to the real purpose of religion. And that erodes the faith of people also. There is religious culture and spiritual tradition, but then the practitioners don't follow it. And the rest of society sees that and they see it as a contradiction. They see it as cheating. And so that erodes the faith of the people further and further and further. So you get this, you know, this the divine, if you like, which is basically the platform is goodness. Sattva. And on the other side you've got ignorance, and very heavily steeped in ignorance. And so these qualities come out. Naturally these qualities will come out when there's an influence of the mode of ignorance, and you get, instead of divine culture, you get demoniac culture. Shushka vigraha. Shushka vigraha, useless quarrelling. I think every one of us could give an example of useless, especially husbands and wives. Useless fighting. I won't go into any more details. I could get myself in trouble. What was that?
So many
divorces. But not even in divorce. Happily married. Happily married couples. Still useless quarrelling.
Misunderstanding.
Okay, right. Shushka vigraha. And of course, we're just discussing last night with Prabhu and Rati how, you know, water is an example of where in the future wars will be fought over water. Water is diminishing. There's so many causes and sources of arguments and disputes in Kali Yuga. In fact, it's only going to get worse. We're living in the better part of Kali Yuga. And it's going to get worse from here on in. Which is quite a challenging consideration. In one sense, I sort of think, well, it would be good that with Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the devotees, we won't be here, we'll have gone home back to Godhead. So we don't have to worry about it too much. Shushka vigraha, useless quarrelling, calm. Kamaha, lust, krodha, anger. Tarshaha, hankering, Krishna, hankering. hankering after. Hankering after things that are not even good for us. We were discussing this at Krishna Fest the other night. The modern media experts know this principle of association. Was it Jayato Vishate Pumsam Sangat Sanjayate Karma? Sangat Sanjayate Karma. If you associate with something, then you by that association you become attracted or attached to it. Right, so this is they keep on promoting the latest widescreen TV that's only 1 inch thick. Oh, only 1 inch thick. I've got to have one of those. It's the brightest and it's got the most pixels and it gives the highest definition image. Oh, yes, I have to have one of those to watch the cricket. That's what they do. Well, if it's not the cricket, it's the tennis. If it's not the tennis, then it's the football. If it's not football, then it's the soccer. It's the Olympic Games. As you can see, this is simply just a distraction for people, right? But they dangle these things in front of them. The latest television screen. Oh, I've got to have one of those. Or I need a Toyota. I have to have a Toyota. Huh? And then, when I get my Toyota, I can jump up. Oh, what a feeling. It's just driving a motor car. But they make people, by exposing them to these things all of the time, then people become attached. Their desires are increased. Karma. They don't necessarily need these things. Life will go on if you don't. It was only 100 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, and nobody had a motor car. People were satisfied with a horse and buggy. Far more mode of goodness existence. Right? A lot less motor vehicle accidents. Right? That's what Prabhupada would say. They might now have these motor cars and they're swooshing backwards and forwards, but how many thousands of people are killed on the roads now that they go so fast? And why can't they just pick up the telephone and talk to each other? Why do they have to? Prabhupada makes this point. So there's a hankering, there's a lust for things which we don't even need, but we consider as being essential now. You have to have your bread making machine, you have to have your pie making machine, you have to have your. But I remember when I was very young, 3 or 4 years old, living in a place called Francis, we had no electricity in our house. And I remember even one family of kids came to school, and they came to school in a horse and buggy. Right? And the kids were only about, I think the oldest child was at most 10, in grade 5 or something. And they lived some miles away from the school, but the kids would get on a horse and buggy. And the horse just knew where to go. The kid didn't even have to drive the thing, The horse would just walk to the school. They'd tie him up, give him something to eat. He'd just stand there and eat all day and, flick off the flies. And then in the evening, they'd get back on the buggy and the horse would take him home. Really simple living. Very simple living. That's actually desirable when you think about it. Low cost transport. Although, mind you, it's all based on a local economy. That kind of activity is based on a local economy, not a global economy, but simply a local economy where you're satisfied living in your own village. And, of course, they're living on the farm. Children go to school. It's a very simple... It's a much more simpler and less frenetic lifestyle in that kind of an environment. But in a modern environment, we're encouraged to do things in a very, very different way. Although it's not necessary. You know, Prabhupada argued for simple living. That's pretty much the mode of goodness, is a simple living. When you get a mixture of the modes of passion and ignorance, especially passion, then your desires are increased. Even though you don't need those things, we don't need them. Our life is not going to be enhanced very much more by extra pixels, you know, on a widescreen TV. It's not. It usually means, you know, basically that you just put $3,000 on your credit card and you're now going to have to work a lot harder to pay it off. So people are being manipulated as a result of the fact that the media, the advertising experts understand this principle. Dangle carrots in front of people, they'll then become attached to them, thinking that this is important, that this is what I should have. And so we get this karma, krodha, lobha, you know, the lust, anger, greed. We see that as symptoms of society's degradation, actually. You know, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous to exist in such an environment. There was a story in the newspaper yesterday of how one person made a comment to another person about his little dog. Nice dog you got there, mate. He said, the response was, I'll sick him onto you if you're not careful. Right? Then these people who owned the dog came back and assaulted the person who was making a friendly comment about his dog. Bashed him over the head. Fractured his skull, actually. I said, you've got to be careful. Even members of the Indian community, there are some places in Melbourne where you've got to be careful. Don't look at people. I didn't say anything. Didn't do anything. I don't know if you've experienced this, but in, you know, low class, certainly in Australian culture, you can be out and somebody just says, who are you looking at, mate? Wasn't me. There's people are just angry. They're just angry. I remember as a teenager and you go out to parties, but you sort of think, you know, somebody just want to come up and fight you for no good reason. And you think, what's wrong with this guy? But this is what happens. This is part of the culture. You know, the culture is people get so, they're so lusty and frustrated because the system, the media system, advertising system generates these desires in people. They don't have the money, they don't have the influence, they don't have the intelligence. They can't get what they want, so then they become very frustrated. Totally frustrated. And then what do they want to do? As a result of their frustration and their anger, then they just want to go and punch somebody. Now, what kind of a culture is that? And we see, you know, we hear the stories in the newspapers how the youth of Melbourne are slashing each other with knives, you know, bashing each other up with chairs, and just, you know, it almost sounds like after midnight in the city, it's a battle zone. Right? Isn't it? Of course, none of us would go, you know, if you're stupid enough to be in these places, then watch out, basically. Watch out. And we see it sometimes when we're on Harinam, we go out on Harinam, and sometimes, you know, we see this, the nature of the culture and the nature of the modes of passion and ignorance mixed together with no structure, no order. Then we see these characteristics coming out in people. It's quite shocking. For the devotees, it's quite shocking because it's so unnecessary. It's not necessary. If people had the proper leadership and the proper guidance, the proper examples given for them, then these characteristics could be, you know, the natural characteristics of people could be elevated by following the guidelines that are recommended in the Varnashram system. That's what it's for. Just let loose, then the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion will prevail and we get degradation. We get basically the demoniac kind of a culture where might is right. Or this, you know, whoever steals the most of everybody else, he becomes the most powerful. You can see that, you know, in some of the African, well, not that it only happens in Africa, but, you know, there are some African countries very, very wealthy in resources, but the people are in poverty. And the rulers, you know, the leading class, they're selling all of the resources of the country off to the multinationals, to the semiconductor, sorry, to the, you know, what do you call it, the silicon chip companies. They're making the computers and so forth. They have the resources that are required, some rare minerals and so forth. They have them in abundance, and they're just selling them off to the West so we can have our colour TVs and fancy computers and iPhones and whatever, right? And those people are pocketing all of the money, and yet the people in the country who should be looked after by the leadership are just left in poverty. It's cheating, which is what's described here. Stam, thievery. You know, the nature of the ruling class, the Kshatriyas, is that they should be prepared to defend religiousness. And that they should be prepared to distribute the wealth to everybody. This is the Kshatriya's responsibility, is to see. That's why they tax. They tax the wealthy. And then redistribute roads and, you know, water systems and utilities and so forth. That's the responsibility of the Kshatriyas. To administrate. Make sure that the social body is properly nourished. That means everybody's getting fed and everybody's getting clothes and everybody has a roof over their head. That's their responsibility to do that. But we see when the Varnashram system is not followed properly, then it degrades. Then, you know, whoever can accumulate the most and fight off the rest, then he's the winner. But not realising that, you know, it's not, you know, there was a bumper sticker used to people have on their car, you know, whoever has the most toys at the end wins. Not true, because, you know, we all die at some point in time. It's something we all have to face. And so accumulating wealth is not going to bring you ultimate happiness. In fact, that accumulation of wealth usually means that you're cheating and stealing and thieving, so much bad karma. And so then in the future, you're going to be back, you'll be down with the poverty-stricken people. Somebody else will be exploiting you. So, these characteristics, bhava, antya, avasayinam, this is the lowest position, because there's no structure, there's no order, there's no focus, there's no goal other than just satisfying one's lust. You know, the most successful is the person who can get the most sense gratification. This is the idea. He'll be the happiest. But actually, he's not the happiest. The mind and the senses are out of control, and usually those who pursue sense gratification end up being the most miserable and depressed. You know, this is one of the reasons why, you know, the mental health issues are emerging as the, you know, major problem within society, because people are pursuing things thinking they'll make them happy, but in the end all they become is miserable. And it's disturbing. So, and of course that's that hi upadruttaha is described in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Basically in the Kali Yuga everybody's disturbed. So rather than be nastikyam, it's encouraged that we should be astikyam. This is a quality of the brahmanas, faithful to the system, if you like, faithful to the order, faithful to the structure. Instead of just chasing the mind and the senses and the desires that are like fire, you know, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, the desires are like fire within the heart. And the more you try and feed the fire, the more it just burns. It just blazes. Huh? You know, you may initially, by pouring in sense gratification, the fire might get down a little bit. Just like, you know, if you've got petrol and if you throw petrol onto a fire, initially the fire will go down, but as soon as the petrol catches, it comes back up again. So Krishna, you know, explains these principles in the Bhagavad Gita. Mode of passion is characterized by unlimited desires and longings for. But better the mode of goodness. And really, that's the Varnashram system is a template, if you like, for ordering and structuring people so that the maximum amount of goodness can be injected into a person's life or superimposed for their benefit. So that, you know, the Sudras work for the other higher classes with their rules and regulations. The Vaishyas work in a particular way with their rules and regulations. The Kshatriyas also have their standards and expectations. And then the Brahmanas as the intellectual class, as the religious or spiritual inspiration for the whole of society, and the most detached also. The Brahmanas are meant to be the most detached. You know, Dadati Prati Grigha Prati, what is it? Prati Griyati or Prati Griyati, yeah. So they give freely and they also receive freely. They don't have to work in one sense. They're detached and they're not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Will I be looked after tomorrow? Yes, you'll be looked after tomorrow. Will you die tomorrow? Yes, you will. Eventually, we all will die. So there'll be suffering. You know, the material world is designed in such a way so there'll be suffering. Huh? Anybody noticed an individual who was able to avoid the suffering? Huh? And sometimes we devotees get concerned about security. I want security. In fact, there's a couple of popular songs written about the subject matter. I want security. But ultimately, who is secure in the material world? We all eventually, so Brahmanas understand this point, you know, eventually we're all going to die. So no point in accumulating more than we need. Let's use the time for cultivating spiritual understanding, which can't be taken away from us. That won't be taken away. That is carried with us. Nihabi krama nasasti pratyavayo na vijate. Svalpam apyasa. Dharamasya trayate mahatos bhaya. Isn't it? Yeah. We'll be protected from the greatest type of fear, which is fear of dying, by understanding that we don't die. By understanding that we're actually spiritual by nature. And that these, you know, possessions coming and going, it's all part of the material world. Where, you know, one day you've got something, the next day it's gone. One day you're happy, the next day you're less than happy. Morose, yeah. Because what made you happy the previous day is now gone. So brahmana, those in the mode of goodness, not that we don't work for our maintenance and so forth, we do, obviously we've got to look after the basics, but rather than become totally preoccupied, we put aside, or those influenced by the mode of goodness, put aside the time to release themselves from this, from the tyranny, if you like, of this chasing our unlimited desires and trying to satisfy them. Or, you know, chasing the unlimited desires, getting what you want, but then realizing or discovering that that wasn't satisfying and that you want more now. This is the nature of the material world. I got a better job, I'm now getting more money, but it's not enough. And I discover that now I want more. Whereas the brahmanas work, that those with the proper understanding and faith in the culture of spiritual knowledge realize, let me work on being satisfied with what I've got and living peacefully rather than being disturbed all the time by these desires. So, the devotees especially, because the culture of Krishna consciousness is based on this principal platform of goodness, then the shastra and the system supports that. Then basically it's the opposite of these qualities. Socham, cleanliness, honesty, giving freely, giving freely in charity rather than stealing, and receiving. This is the nature of the culture. The Varnashram culture is a culture of giving rather than stealing. You know, Prabhupada gives the example. He talks about how in in the Vedic culture, even if somebody loses something, drops something in the street, people won't touch it. Because they know that it belongs to somebody and that they'll come back and get it. Of course, they have fairly strict rules also. You know, if you got caught thieving, then your hand got... they chop your hand off. But it, actually, it's based... Once others' possessions are seen as if rubbish in the street, basically. So the Varnashram system is based on goodness, taking into consideration all of the influences that exist in a person's life, and it's the opposite. It cultivates the opposite qualities. And people become peaceful and satisfied with their situation. So therefore, no quarrelling. Or shall we say, it's Kali Yuga, so less quarrelling. Right? If a husband and wife is quarrelling, that's okay. That's considered normal. Everything's okay. little bit of disagreement. That's based on personality, right? We're persons, so we each have our own inclinations. Now, the interesting thing is, we are not going to be able to establish a varnashram system in this environment, in the environment that we're living in. You know, the varnashram system is not, Prabhupada says, almost impossible. But still, within the society of the devotees, we follow the general principles of varnashram so that we can each be situated peacefully and with some order, some decorum. And where there's order and decorum, some regulation, then one's able to pursue one's spiritual life with stability, with steadiness. Another quality, dhira, sober, sobriety. You know, the characteristic of Kali Yuga is intoxication and madness and, you know, all the things that come with that. But with an ordered, structured society, as is recommended by the basic principles of varnashram, then you've got sobriety, you've got steadiness, you've got then advancement, which is what we're looking for. Some spiritual advancement, some progress in controlling the mind, controlling the senses, and looking at things from a detached perspective. That's a Brahminical culture. That's the influence of the mode of goodness, and that's also the Vaishnava culture. Be detached. See things as they are, and not be bewildered by the, you know, the illusion of material existence. So I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Mark Maji.
As you said, Srila Prabhupada had to depend, because he was telling what we are, pure spiritual soul.
Yeah.
And we have to pursue spiritual advancement.
Yes.
And this Bhagavatam verse is excellent. This gives the whole idea of the newspaper, what we need in the newspaper.
Yeah.
We spend 1 hour, that's what we need. Or yeah. The divorces and this and that.
Who got killed?
Because they have no tolerance.
Yeah, who won the cricket?
And
the tennis?
Prabhupada said that we have to be in the Shuddha Sattva. There is a springboard for the transcendental.
That's right. Development. Yep.
So if we are outside the Varnashram system, all those bad proclivities, the proclivities we have got in our mind, the other conditioning, they all come up.
Yes.
On the surface.
Yep.
For example, that what you are saying very nicely, that the Shushka Vigraha.
Shushka Vigraha. Yeah.
We see the house, in the home, husband and wife, it's very important. Cause so much disturbance. So much of time is wasted.
You don't have that problem, do you?
They have to be, like Bhagavatam, example, how we have to be in Shuddha Sattva so that there is no problem at all.
Yeah.
Already life is so short, and then there is so much anger. One devotee could be free at that. That my house is like a fire. Fire bomb. So how can I stay there? Fire bomb. He told exactly what is happening. And he is a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
He
may be more so as a result. What do they say?
So what
one, in married life, one is happy or a philosopher.
You're right. When there's so much quarrel, you know, then husband goes into the pub and starts drinking, and then more fight.
Yeah.
More misunderstanding.
Hare Krishna.
So within 2-3 years of the man is divorced.
Yeah.
And he moves up on the children.
Mm.
So Bhagavatam is telling me everything in this, what we are reading and what we are seeing.
Mm. Anybody else? Okay. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.